Amen. Amen. All right. So today, I want to finish up this part of our series on marks of a healthy church. We've been focusing on the body the last few couple of times that I've been able to share with you. And today I want to close out the body. Next week, we're going to finish up this by talking about the leadership. But today I want to focus on the body. So we talked about repentant hearts. Hearts that are willing to change as God moves. We talked about a church that worships together. A church that comes together and loves to just get into the presence of God. Because I know many churches, and I've been in many churches, where they're there, but Jesus never shows up. Because their worship is more about going through an order or going through a traditional thing. Not that within tradition you can't worship, but some are more about the tradition than the worship of God. We talked about being baptized in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has freedom to move in the church and grow in people's lives. And last thing we talked about before was the the unity of the believers coming together as one. The church ministering to one another and caring about each other. And this is where kind of leap off. We get a little more specific. And as you, if you were here for those, you know we've been talking about this is based on the Church of Acts, the first church, the model church that God's laid out for us. So the fifth mark is simply everyone serves and ministers. Everyone serves and ministers. Everyone has an important role. Nobody's role is not important. Nobody's role is not important. In Acts 1 through 7, let's read this together. 6, 1 through 7. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles when they had prayed. They laid hands on them, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So, I want you to see this, the big picture here. Most of us read this, and we see the Hellenists were the the Greek Christians, okay? Because the original disciples and the core disciples were of Jewish background. Because most of the people who got saved in Jerusalem were there for the feast, for there for the Passover. So they were Jewish. But there were some Greeks, Hellenists, who were saved. So the Hellenists were saying, you know, our widows, because they're not Jewish, because the Jewish law in the Old Testament has specific things you're supposed to do to take care of widows and children. They said, but our widows are being neglected because your people are maybe saying they don't fall under our law. They don't fall under our rules. Now the body has to be one for it to survive, right? Body has to be one. There could be no dissension. For God moves when we are in one accord. Awesome things happen when we are together as one in the presence of God. So the original 12 apostles know this. They know what can happen because they've experienced it. So they decided we need to unify this body. We need to do something. So they decided to elect seven people. Now we will talk more about their role next week, but I want you to see something. The last person mentioned in this, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, that's a Greek city. So they didn't elect just Jews of Jewish background to lead these people. And remember, there's like 5,000 people now. They elected one of their own as well. He was called by God. They prayed over who we should pick, and they picked him. And this is important because, again, this is about the unity of the believers. Remember, Bible says there's no Greek or Jew, no slave or free, no man or woman. In Christ Jesus, we are all one. So they were breaking down the barriers of segregation and putting in leadership someone that a lot of people would have been unexpected to look at as a leader over them. But it was the right call. Why? Because God ordained it. And this is the heart of God. Everyone was important to God. Background doesn't matter. Where you are now in relation to him is all that matters. That's it. And he was a man of God. And that's all that mattered. Now, let's also look at the bigger picture too. There's about 5,000 people. Do you and I really think seven men are going to be able to manage 5,000 people on their own? Think about that for a second. We read scripture and we look at this, and most of us don't think twice about this, but that's what I love, that type of Bible studies we do in our home groups, where we dig in and look at the four different levels, and one of them is put ourselves in there, what it would be like, what it would look like if we were there without changing any of the facts. Well, reality is seven men or seven individuals cannot lead properly 5,000 people alone. Even before these men were elected, what were the people doing? They were taking care of themselves, right? Everybody was doing something. See, what it says here, because people misinterpret this, they hear the Hellenists saying our widows are being neglected and think they're being completely shunned and not part of the group, when that's not the case. The case is there's specific things that the Old Testament, that the law of Moses that God ordained to do for widows and children, that because they were of Greek background, was not being done to them. Because the mindset is, well, you're not Jewish. You're not under this. And God was breaking down the law here. Breaking down walls, I mean, here. But this does not mean the Greek Christians were completely being neglected. What they were saying is the same standards weren't being met. And what God wants to do is unify to one standard so that church can be in one accord and be strong as one. This was a teachable moment. But I don't want you to misinterpret that the body, that these 5,000 people weren't already ministering to each other, because they were. It's just they didn't know any better. They didn't know any better. But now they're learning. This is part of the lordship process of learning how to make God Lord of your life, how to be one with him and know his heart and his thoughts and have his mind and his heart within us. It's part of that growing process. So there were seven men chosen, but 1,000 people were there serving and ministering under these men. So these seven men now, what they can do is say, okay, you establish leadership over this many people. I'll take this many people. I'll take that many people. And you know, under them, now they have other leaders. Now, we know human nature, right? There's A-type personalities, B-type personalities. The A-type personalities are naturally going to rise up and feel a compulsion to do, especially when it goes hand in hand with that spirit of generosity or giving of themselves, of their resources, of all that things. The two go together. A-type personalities are going to be like, this needs to be get done. Let me do it. How can I help? And you have a lot of B-types too, who may not take the lead but are willing to follow a leader. What can I do to help you? So you know still seven men aren't running 5,000 people plus alone. They are working together. The church was moving together. They continue to meet in people's homes. So imagine having to have homes to meet in for 5,000 people on a daily basis to fellowship and grow and worship. They had everyone had a place to serve. Everyone did their part. And the result was what? Church growth. Everyone knew their role was important. And God wanted to make sure the 12 apostles, or the apostles wanted to make sure nobody felt less than that. Nobody was less than that. So what this means to us today, I love our children's church, and we need more workers in our children's church, because our children's workers are not workers. They are ministers. They are gospel teachers. They are equippers of the children, empowerers of the children, imparters of to the children of what God has given to them. They're not just reading Bible lesson and walking away. We're teaching the kids to pray. We're teaching the kids how to lay hands and pray for healing. We're teaching the kids how to pray with power and declare the word of God and pray the word of God. They're teaching the kids to stand strong in the armor of God and how to wear that armor of God. And that's what we're doing in our home groups. Why? Because they, from the youngest to the oldest, every one of us is just as important. And I will be the first to tell you, I might be the one called to be in this position, but I'm not more important than anyone else in this room. I'm not more important. And my job is to help each one in this room recognize their importance and raise them up. Raise them up. And we'll get into the ministers, the leadership role more again next week. But every single one of us is important. I'm looking forward to the day, Josh, when you're up here preaching the Word of God. I love it when Michael Sin gives a prophetic word. And I love it when I see the body ministering to the body. Everyone has a role. Wednesday night, some of the men came out, because Tuesday night, the pavilion over here where I had a privilege of sharing a little, doing a little devotional for the Harvest Time Worship Center's men's thing. And I'm so grateful for the men that came. Why? Because a gentleman who we've shared about in this church before, a well-known atheist who likes to go and antagonize the Christians who we've become friendly with, but he likes to debate, and you know, we won't debate with him. He showed up, and we invited him to come in. Now, I have to confess, I was like, okay, Lord, help. Please, no, I don't want, my focus is on empowering these men of God, not getting to a religious debate with this gentleman. And immediately, I felt somebody praying. I felt the covering right away. From Danny to Rob and to Mark, I felt their prayers right away. And I knew we were fine at that point. I thanked them. Their role was just important in those moments than as much as mine was in sharing the gospel to those men, because they were my covering. When I go to India, your role is just as important as mine, because I need your covering. My wife needs your covering. as any one of us ministers in any way, we need each other's covering. We need each other's wisdom. We need each other's strength to pull from. And when we're down, we lift each other up. Everyone has a role. Everyone serves. Everyone ministers. This is not Pastor Mike's church. It's not the board of BCF's church. It is our church. We are the church. We are the body. And for this to grow, everyone fulfills their role. Has to fulfill a role. Everyone needs to serve and do something and cover and pray and stand. And the results will be church growth. It will be church growth as we continue to do that because we are doing it. And I am so grateful for the men and women of God and the children of God, the young adults of God, who have stepped up and are doing these things. And the sixth and final mark of a healthy church, and you've heard this before, but it's important because this is part of our vision. This is part of our calling, is to train, equip, and release. Train, equip, and release. I have to tell you, it's heartbreaking and bittersweet at the same time when I see people like Bobby Jr. and Sarah Sin, two of our most awesome young people, and Tori, you know, God blessed us with them. We train them, we equip them, but we also know we have to release them to what God has for them. I love hearing the praises and testimonies of what they're doing. And Sarah will be here in July and share with us what's going on with her. She's got an amazing testimony because she's on her way to intern in the Jesus Culture Church, which is amazing. What a blessing. But it's heartbreaking to let them go, but you know, that's what God has for us. Our job is not to train, equip, and hold on. We're there to what? Spread the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. The only way that happens is when God's people go. So our job is to train, equip, and release. And I want to show you something. Acts 8:26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Now Philip, who's Philip? Philip was one of the seven that was elected, right? Angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had a charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? What a way. Those of us who are doing the evangelism training, that was our end, you know? Ben talks about if you see they're wearing a hat, and you can make a comment about their hat or their T-shirt or their tattoos as a way to get in. This is exactly what Ben's teaching us in our evangelism training. Philip sees this eunuch, heard him reading Isaiah. Hey, would you like to know and understand what you're reading? What a way in. Perfect. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture where he had was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his injustice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from him. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of another man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and the beginning at the scripture preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, let's do it. Why waste time? He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea. So here's Philip, not one of the apostles, but one of the seven who are meant to manage the 5,000. I bet you, in his flesh, unless the Spirit of God was prompting something, most of us think, well, you know, I'm happy where I am. I'm close to God. I'm fine where I am. I'm serving. God may not want me to do more. I'm where I need to be. But see, when we pursue the heart of God, there will always be more. Let me say that again. When we pursue the heart of God, there will always be more. He will never stop opening doors, creating opportunities, empowering us to flow in those opportunities, to do what we are incapable of doing without Him. There will always be more. Why? Because in the more, we become more intimate with Him. In the more, we gain intimate knowledge of Him. In the more, we grow in our dependent relationship with Him. In the more, we can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength. It's in the more, not in the less, not in the complacency, not in the I'm happy where I am, but there is more. And I'm sure Philip was very happy and felt honored. Wow, the apostles elected me, one of seven, to do the Lord's work in such a powerful way. But in his desire for more, in his hunger for more, in his love and heart for God, God said, I'm going to open up a beautiful opportunity for you. Because we don't read anywhere else in Scripture that Philip, prior to this point, was going, hey, John, can you disciple me? I want more. Hey, Peter, can I be like you? But see, God knows our hearts, right? God knows the depths of our hearts. And God knew what he has for him. And in that depth of his heart and his willingness. See, there's two things. There's readiness and willingness. Readiness says, I've been equipped. I've been trained. I've been given everything I need, every tool. I am 100% fully prepared to do the job successfully. But willingness says, I am willing to do the job. I believe in myself to be successful in doing this because I am ready. See, willingness is literally a matter of your will. Readiness is everything on the perimeter. It's everything else. It's like being trained under a mechanic. The mechanic gives you all his tools. Mechanic gives you all their knowledge. They've given you all the experience. They've given you all the opportunities. They've given you everything you need to do to repair an engine. And you have all the book knowledge. You have YouTube. You have everything to fully access every single thing you need to successfully repair an engine. Willingness says, yeah, I believe in myself to do it, and I could do it, and I'm going to take a step of faith to do it. That's willingness. So Philip had to have that in his heart, had to at least have that desire. for God to open this opportunity. So here God opens up this awesome opportunity for him. And then he had to take that step that says, yeah, I'm going to do it. And he took his opening and walked right into it and did it. And what do we know about Philip? See, this is the first recorded pure ministry activity that's not serving tables like he was, or managing, you know, making sure people were all ministered to. This is full-on gospel preaching, evangelism. See, Philip might have saw himself as a table waiter, but what we know from the book of Acts, Philip became a bishop. He became a pastor. He became a minister of a church. His daughters were prophets. So God didn't see Philip as a table waiter. He didn't see where he was. God, when he looked at Philip, he saw everything he could be, everything he's meant to be. Every single one of us, when God looks at us, we look in the mirror and see how we are. We look and we see every pimple, every blemish, every wrinkle, every hair out of place in that moment, and we critique ourselves and limit ourselves based on those things with the power of our own mind. But see, God's not limited with the limitations of our own mind, right? God looks at us and sees the man and woman we are meant to be, the skills that he's already implanted within us, the talents, the gifts, the abilities, everything that we have available to us. He sees how we would be using it. And he sees the end picture, the end result. Philip saw himself as a table waiter in that moment. God saw him as a man, a leader of men and women and children. He saw him as a community changer. He saw him as a world impactor. He saw him as a man raised in a Christian family that will be a testimony of how what a Christian family is supposed to look like. That's what God saw him as. He saw him as a man filled with power and how to walk in that power and impart that power. He saw the man who eventually ministered to Paul on his journey back to Rome. He saw that man as he sees every woman, every man, every child in this place. But Philip had to start somewhere. He began to be trained by watching, by observing, by leaning in, is the term we like to use, by being discipled and equipped, and then he was released. You cannot be released till you position yourself under leadership. To have authority, you have to be under authority. To lead, you have to be led. Even the Apostle Paul himself, after his conversion, was with the disciples for 17 to 20 years training before he went on his apostolic journeys. Trained, equipped, released. You've been given a personality. And some of you, it's awesome. God's not trying to curb that. He's trying to utilize that. That's your strength. God's given you a heart. Some of our hearts are so big that they're tender and they've been hurt. But guess what? The devil is attacking your heart with hurt because he knows that's your strength when it is exploding for Jesus. But that comes under training. That comes under positioning yourself to be equipped, trained, to be released. Philip was willing to step out into faith. He was willing to be released into his destiny. I got to believe a lot of us here, our destinies, we haven't even tiptoed into it yet. I know I haven't with this church and my personal walk with him and with what God is doing. And I can tell for every single one of us. See, when Paul declares, when Joel writes, and then Peter quotes him, Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, old men dream dreams, young men see visions. That's all about the potential, the fullness that God has for us. So it does not matter how old you are or how young you are. It's that state of willingness to say yes and to do it. To do it. Lord, I'm giving you all. I give you my resources, my home, my finances, my bank account, my vehicles are yours, my heart is yours, my family's yours. Everything I have that I consider within my scope of possession is yours. And I submit it to you. And I ask you to teach me. Give me a teachable heart. See, that's one of our values as a church, is to be teachable. To be teachable and having that character and commitment of a teachable heart. I'm ready, Lord, to lay it down, to receive everything. Remember, some of you may remember, I shared a message on what a Talmudim is. Talmudim is what we can, modern word is disciple, but it's much more than a disciple. If you are a Talmudim to a rabbi, you're a rabbi because you're sitting under him to be taught, trained, equipped, becomes the most important figure in your life next to God himself. And when I shared a message a while back, shared quotes that written that he becomes more important than your dad. If your dad and your rabbi were held for ransom, you ransom your rabbi first. That's how important he was, because he is the one equipping you with the things of God and training you to release you, because you were meant to eventually become a rabbi. That's who Saul was. He was trained under the rabbi Gamaliel. And then in his own right, we don't sometimes think about it, but he became a rabbi. And then he became the most powerful apostolic rabbi this world's ever seen. In the name of Jesus. That's what God has for us. And it's so cool to see so many people in this body that are willing, that have already stepped out. And even though they had no clue what they were stepping into, they stepped out in faith. But remember, there's always more if you're pursuing the heart of God. He'll always have more for you. If you're willing to grow, he's going to grow you. If you're willing to eat, he's going to feed you. If you're willing to drink, he's going to give you something to drink. If you're willing to stretch your faith, he's going to put you in those positions and be with you as you are being stretched and empower you to succeed in those things. Not that we don't make mistakes at times, but that's part of the growing process, and it's okay. There's no better place to make a mistake than around family. Why? Because family forgives, and family nurtures, family encourages. We might have come from secular families that didn't do that. But a healthy family, which is a healthy church, that's what we do. Even in admonishing, even in correcting, we do it in love. We do it in the spirit of Jesus. And we do it to build up, not tear down. Yeah, we build to strengthen, not weaken. That's what it's all about. That's the mark of a healthy church in terms of the body. And I pray these six marks, something in there has spoken to every one of us here in this church. and has encouraged us to move forward. You know, whether it's to be trained, equipped, and released, encouraged to minister, to encourage to be more embrace the unity of the believers, or be part of this family. Not part of the family that lives in two states over that shows up every once in a while, but be part of this family. Commit to this family, because this family is more than willing to commit to you. To be open, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit just flow freely in you. To commit to worshiping together, because without Jesus, everything we do is useless. And to come and always have a heart that's willing to change. Be open to have your mind changed, which is repentance. Be willing to be taught something different, something new, as the Holy Spirit teaches us, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me right now? Put yourself in that receiving position and just spend a moment with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, ask for revelation right now, in Jesus' name. What I'm getting that I want to release over you is God wants to give you a revelation, a little bit of a revelation of His vision for your destiny. He wants to show you what you can be, because I can feel in here many of us have limited ourselves based on who we are now. I'm here to tell you, you are a warrior in Jesus Christ. You are a life changer. You are a kingdom builder. You are living water to those that are thirsty because of what you have to pour out. You are the bread of life to those who are spiritually starving because of what you have to feed them with, which is the Word of God, which is Jesus. So Holy Spirit, I release in your name a vision for every single one in this room of their destiny. Revelation of their destiny, Lord. Show them who they can be right now in here, what they're meant to be. Those who are meant to be pastors in their own right, give them a glimpse of that. Those who are meant to be prophets in their own right, give them a glimpse of that. Those who are meant to be teachers in their own right, Lord, give them that vision. Those who are meant to be apostles in their own right, give them that vision. Those who are meant to be the evangelists, give them that vision and revelation, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Just release that right now. Just release that in Jesus' name.